You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is, in fact, Primetime Action from the South Point. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. Glad you could join us tonight. World Series game number one. Looking forward to that. About an hour from now, we'll talk to Paul Spohr about it momentarily. The Astros, minus 140 favorites in this ballgame, and a little higher than that on the series. I got some value on the Braves, I think, first five tonight. I've made that play, plus 105. We'll get into the World Series, not only with Spohr, but we'll also talk about it as well. All kinds of ways to bet it. We'll do Teaser Tuesday, because it's Tuesday, and Matt, some basketball as well.
Yeah, 135 on the Astros right now, plus 115 over at DraftKings, sitting with a total of 8.5 in that one on the NBA side of things. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. We have the 76ers and the Knicks. And as we sit right now, you got the Knicks as a one-point favorite at home there, 217. Your total, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. We got the Warriors and the Thunder. Gills, Golden State,
yes.
Warriors,
get it,
are 9.5-point road favorites at Oklahoma City, 223.5. Your total in that one, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. Lakers and the Spurs, this is anywhere between a push and a one-point favorite at home for the Spurs, 220.5, your total in that one, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, Rockets and Mavericks. The Mavericks are 10.5-point home favorites, 222, your total there, and the Nuggets and the Jazz round out the evening, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Jazz, 7.5-point home favorites, 219, your total there.
And why are the Lakers such small favorites in that game?
Kelly, I assume there is some injury news.
Yeah, LeBron is out. He's officially out tonight. He was dealing with an ankle injury. Rolled into the day questionable, so the line already kind of was hedged that way anyways. But he is officially out. They just made that announcement about 10 minutes ago. And then the other one, I do have a small play on the Sixers tonight, banking on Joel Embiid was going to play. He is going to play in that game. He was questionable rolling into the game against the Knicks here tonight. He will be in the starting lineup. I haven't seen any restrictions on his game time, playing time, or anything like that here tonight.
Yeah, Drew Dinsick, who is a frequent guest of this show from the Deep Dive podcast and NBC Sports Bet the Edge, he also took the Sixers on the money line tonight, and he likes their team total over. So a couple plays from him. Also, simpatico with yours.
All right, I like it. I like it. Drew on my side.
Yeah.
Over on the baseball side of things, starting lineups tonight, and as we mentioned, with it being American League ballpark, the Braves are going to get an extra bat in the lineup, and that bat being the guy that was coming back off of the COVID list, and he is going to lead off for them. So Soler is going to lead off for the Braves tonight. Soler, Freeman, Albies, Riley, Rosario, Duvall, DiArno, Peterson, and then Swanson in the nine hole. Again, we got the DH tonight since we're playing over in Houston. On the Houston side, Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez, Correa, Tucker, Gurriel, McCormick, and then Maldonado sitting in the nine hole there.
I don't mean to be this guy, but also on the morning show today on a numbers game, we also had a pick from Jason Weingarten, not on this game, but for MVP of the series. He liked two bets.
Martin Maldonado, obviously.
Incorrect.
Yes. At 20,000 to 1 or whatever.
As soon as you said Maldonado, I was like, oh, I gotta jerry rig in the MVP talk. He had two, one on the Astros side, one on the Braves side. For the Astros, he liked the value on, any guesses? Yordan, who you could get at 10 to 1 earlier today. We're showing plus 850 at DraftKings. He is the short shot along with Freddie Freeman. But on the Braves side, he liked the aforementioned Jorge Soler, who you just mentioned, at around 30 to 1 or longer. He actually likes that with the DH opportunities. So that's his long shot MVP play. We'll get one from Spohr here momentarily.
Yeah, Soler is one of those guys that is also a lefty masher as well, which is why you see him inserted all the way up at the top of the lineup here going against Valdez tonight. He is a guy on the season, 293 ISO against lefties over the course of the year. So it is just, I mean, that's the highest of anyone in the lineup for the Braves tonight.
35 to 1 at DraftKings. Jorge Soler to win the World Series MVP. World Series, you have World Series fever, Kelly? Yes? No?
Huh? No. Definitely. I'm ready to go.
I will have it if the Astros get to three wins. If the Astros get to three wins, Then I'll get the feed.
I'm rooting for Matt.
I'm rooting for Matt.
The guys quizzed me downstairs today. I think I named like 5 Astros players and like 2 Braves players correctly. It was bad.
That's great.
You mean off the top of your head, or they asked you like, here's a name, who do they play for?
No, off the top of my head.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I could do that. I could do that better.
We did that thing with Matt earlier where we're like, name 3 Pirates on your season win total win bet. He was like, I don't remember.
Like, nah.
Still can't.
Yeah.
Still can't.
Barry Bonds.
I do
Bobby
have a
Bonilla.
Ticket, though, on Jorge Soler to have the most home runs this season. I'm assuming I can trash that, right?
You did not win that one. It's not a winner.
By the way, win that one.
I am going to go and get my bag right here. I actually have, like, you know how sometimes you get the printouts of, give me the most RBIs, most hits. For some reason, I have in my bag here William Hill preseason. What their odds were, so I'm going to grab those.
Okay.
But we'll look at that for the World Series as well, because you can bet on those kinds of things.
That's right.
We will do that momentarily. Football news, always football news, always. It never stops. Jerry Jeudy of the Broncos, he's good to go. He'll return and play Sunday against the Washington football team. Vaughn Miller, speaking of the Broncos, day-to-day with an ankle injury. But probably the biggest news of the day is this sort of concern, and we always wondered if this was going to happen. Are we going to get to a point where, a la Denver Bronco quarterbacks last year before the Saints game, is there going to be an issue with units having COVID issues? And after we heard the news about Devontae Adams yesterday, who is vaccinated, being on the COVID-19 list, now we have an unvaccinated cohort in the wide receiving crew of the Packers today, also on that list.
Yeah, Alan Lazard going to be out as well. So now Marquez Valdez-Scantling is on IR. They could bring him off IR to come into this game, but now you kind of start to wonder, do you just kind of punt on this game, right? You know, like if you're the Packers. So
if Devontae does not play.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so do you just kind of punt on this game? And if that were to be the case, then the top 3 wide receivers for the Packers would all be out for this game, and Devontae Adams, Alan Lazard, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who, again, could be eligible to come off of IR, but I think if you're the Packers here, if you're not going to have Devontae Adams, you're not going to have Lazard, are you really forcing back a guy coming off of a bad enough injury, a hamstring injury at that, for a wide receiver to where he had to go on IR? Probably not, right? So you're probably just holding him out another week as well, and then he'll get the 10 days, because, of course, that's a long week for them with the Thursday game here. So yeah, it could get an issue. With this news, it moved another half point. Yeah. Not here apparently at South Point, but it did across the rest of the country. It is sitting 6.5 everywhere else right now in favor of the Cardinals. It does start to make me wonder, though, guys, this total is still sitting at 51. And now if the Packers are going to be super shorthanded in this one, where do we start getting close to that 51 at this point?
It became super popular yesterday with the, you know, possible absence of Devontae, for everybody to flash up graphics like, hey, when they don't play with Devontae, they still play really well.
6-0, yeah.
6-0. And
covered every time.
Yeah, and then, those outfits are not the same as this one. And then now you have the Lazard issue. By the way, for those who were screaming at the radio when Matt said, hey, they might punt on this game, they're not going to tell you they're punting on this game.
Right.
Let's just be clear. They're just going to, at some point, you know, if it gets out of hand early.
And when I say punt on it, like, again, it's a guy that had a hamstring injury that was bad enough he had to go on IR. Do you force him back this week in a game that is starting to look more like you might not have a really good chance of winning it? So you might just say, hey, man, we got the long week as well. Why don't you go ahead and rest that thing for one more week? And then now it's going to be Aaron Rodgers and his band of misfits out there trying to catch the ball. So, I got the ticket in. We were talking about yesterday. 6 could still be short. It has moved to 6.5 at a bunch of the other books. I guess it's still 6 here at South Point.
6 with William Hill here, too, in town.
Yeah.
You grab a 6, Kelly?
No, what I did, I didn't lay the 6. When I tied, I didn't wait, though. I saw the news come out. I was able to get ahead of it. I made money line parlays with the Cardinals and a couple teams. I did money line parlays with the Bucks and the Chargers this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, we said this when the pandemic started. Remember, it became very in vogue for some people. I don't know if in vogue is the right phrase, but some people are like, oh, you're for the virus. You're pro-virus, right? If you said anything realistic. You remember that whole thing? And now here we are over a year later, and I hope people out there who said those kinds of things are like, oh, I guess you were right. This could still affect football games and basketball games and whatever. We're still affected by this. And if it is cluster COVID stuff, like the NFL is super strict about, if you are vaccinated, then this. If you are unvaccinated, then here's the procedure. So Lazard is donezo for this game. Like, he cannot play in this game. Still holding out hope for Devontae, but it's as handicappers, as people are trying to win bets, you got to know these things.
And that was like, yo, when I saw him go out today, it's that that's when you're like, okay, this could legit be a cluster situation problem that he might not be the last name we see over the next 2 days. You know, and it's
that's the thing.
And
Kelly,
it's fine. I'm going to get my bets in now while I'm still not, you know, I still might hopefully have a better number than what it closes at. Get them in now. I'm not going to mess around with this anymore because I already was leaning on betting on the Cardinals anyways. Knew I was going to bet it somehow. So as soon as I saw that come down, get them in now because who knows what's going to happen in the next 48 hours.
And where this really gets problematic is in handicapping contests, if you're vying, or specifically in Survivor, which is, you know, one and done. This is where you get, Matt, to what you were talking about. You have to wait almost as long as possible to the deadline because what happens if player X on another team, you know, ends up COVID positive or on a COVID list anyway? And then the status of whether it's vaccinated or unvaccinated, all that is sort of shrouded, you know, you don't really know until you dig and someone finally comes up with it. So that is the challenge. And it was always from that place. From day one about
this. Yeah, I mean, I think that was a good example yesterday with Adams was that we were seeing, you know, it was the defensive coordinator tested positive.
Yeah.
Adams on the list. And you're like, well, I don't know if he tested positive or not. It's like you got to find different reports sometimes.
Is that Joe Barry who is the defensive coordinator?
Right, yeah.
So they're going to call defensive play calls as a collective effort, they say, on Thursday, the Packers. So add that to the mix.
We'll talk about it on the other side here, but yeah, this whole Devontae Adams thing about record without it.
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on that. Paul Spohr on baseball, too, next. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action from Brady and Femi. They'll be down there. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC. That's VSiN.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash money, including the $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. And apparently, you just have to be in any DraftKings state to play.
Some of them. So Arizona, Colorado, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Wyoming.
Yes. As it says there, Arizona, yes. Colorado, New Hampshire, those six states.
Some of which.
Yes.
Yes. We did it a couple of years ago.
We did.
It was super fun.
It was.
Very well-run event. And I can only imagine having 2 years between one is going to be really, really spectacular.
They done worked out the kinks.
Yes, yes. I imagine all kinks will be worked out. And listen, we ate well.
Yes,
I drank well. You don't drink. But I ate well. You drank well. Like it was.
We
ate well. It's a good time.
It was so much fun too because certainly when you're in it, you're like super jazzed about it. And then even when you're not in it, you sort of like are laughing at the strategies that we're not going to sort of go through the strategy, but the strategies that you learn that you should have employed to get to the promise.
I was very intrigued listening to both of you talk about it, both during and afterward.
You remember that?
Well, I was doing a show with Matt, you know, just afterward, and him talking about the different strategies that you guys kind of had to kept going back and forth on and what you should do. It was interesting.
Hey. We were one exact score hockey parlay away.
That's right.
From just taking that whole thing, that Millie was ours.
All we had to do was pick one hockey score exactly. It would have been ours.
Let me tell you.
By the way, does it come with a big trophy? Does anybody know about that? Like, do you get some hardware?
They used to give them, like, for the DFS stuff, they'd get either trophies or belts or something or whatever. Like, you know,
like a wrestling belt. Like a bronze bust of Johnny Avello's face with his glasses leaning over.
Yes. That's what we're going
to
do.
You nailed the kill. If they don't have it, that's what it needs to be. Yep, got it. I'll send an email to them right now.
Kelly, spend this segment looking up how much it would cost us to get that made.
You got it.
If you don't mind.
That's why I'm here, Kelly.
Yes.
For ideas like that. Stupid ideas. The stupider, the better. Let's talk with Paul Spohr, everybody. Later tonight, he'll be on twitch.tv/Spohr playing MLB The Show. But in between now and then, he's watching baseball like we are, between the Astros and the Braves, World Series game number one. It's Paul Spohr, everybody, from his lair in Austin, Texas. How you doing, Paul?
I'm well, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Doing very well. What's your excitement level? 0 to 10.
It's pretty high. Without having the Tigers in it, it probably doesn't necessarily reach a 10, but it's right there, like an 8 or 9. I'm pretty excited.
Let's start with MVP because I brought it up earlier. Which way would you bet this?
So, I talked to you earlier about Cal Tucker, and then I kind of put that one big counterpoint against myself with Alvarez, too, somebody that's popular, about how their big three relievers are all lefties, and that could mitigate some of their chances at late-game heroics unless they want to go lefty-lefty. I think they could do it, and it would really add to the story, but if we're trying to get the best odds, I think we move away from those two lefties based on that. And then that leaves me looking at Altuve, Correa, and Bregman. This morning, I believe Correa was the best of those three in terms of the longest number. Now I see on the board here it's got Bregman. I think I'm just going to pick my favorite righty of the bunch since the numbers are pretty close. I'd probably still lean Correa at 11, but Bregman at 15 isn't bad. I'm leaning toward an Astro. You know how I feel about this Astros team. So that's where my focus is. And I don't hate Yuli Gurriel at 25-1 either as a really long shot.
Paul, one of the things we don't talk about a ton, we'll ask you how we think the game is going to go. We'll ask you about, what you think about this line, that line. We don't really talk about the total very much in these games. We're sitting 8.5 in this one. And we do have, Charlie Morton, super experienced, pretty good season for him, Framber Valdez. Do you think that these pretty stout lineups end up getting the better of these pitching staffs? Or do you think that these starters can kind of go deep and hold these guys down for a little while and then it would be up to the bullpen to keep this thing either under if you wanted to go under 8.5?
We've really seen things run the gamut with starters. Tons of short starts that were cut due to injury or ineffectiveness. And then we saw the other end of it. Framber Valdez going 8. Morton, we know he can go deep. I think on a given night, though, I'm leaning toward overs more so than not. I just feel like with these shortened starts, you asked so much of a bullpen to bring out 4, 5, 6 guys in a given night to be on their best. To keep that number under 8. So, that's not a crazy number. I think I lean that way with both offenses looking better than both starting rotations at the very least.
All right, let's talk about the series. Astros are -150, the Braves +130. That seems to be the consensus number. Always shop around. How would you bet this? Underdog or nothing?
Yeah, like I said, I've been on the Astros all year. But this is not the time to get in on that. I think you play it game to game. If you really like the Astros, figure out your edges there and what you want to do. If you do like the Braves, I think 130 is not a terrible number here. But overall, when it gets to the World Series, I usually feel like they tighten up the numbers to where you're better off just playing everything over the course of the series. At least that's been the experience that I've had talking with you on these series prices when we get to the finals.
Paul, a prop market here, one of the things that I think a lot of people will be getting involved with for the World Series, even if they didn't do it all season long. People are just going to look for new ways to bet, different things to look at here. Let's just talk about props just in general here. When you do play some of these baseball props, what are you looking for? Are you typically looking for a strikeout prop because you feel a pitcher has a real big advantage over a certain type of lineup or whatever? What are the props that you're looking at?
Yeah, strikeout props are my favorite by far. You nailed it. I'm a pitching guy. That's what I've kind of focused on the most in my baseball writing career. And so I feel like that's where I have probably the best edge in terms of my knowledge meeting with the numbers. There'll be certain times I got a feel on a hit or a home run type of guy. An RBI is probably my second in command, though. I'll either go with the strikeout side or I'll come over to the hitting side and look at RBIs. That can obviously be difficult. I feel like there's so much variance in the hits, runs, and RBIs that I really do want to focus on the pitching ones. And usually that ends up being the strikeout one.
Yeah, 4.5 tonight for both of these guys. Another interesting, because again, we see this a lot in these kind of standalone things, adding new markets, adding whatever. Also, outs recorded by each.
Okay. That is one, by the way, that's available in faraway places all the time. That is one of my favorite things to bet.
So both of those sitting at 14.5. So do they go 5 innings, Paul?
Yeah. That's big right there. I could still see both going five, and then the over still coming in. It's not an either or situation where if they both get five, then there's no way this number, the over, can come in. Yeah, I actually think I could see both guys getting five. I think the juices are going to be flowing pretty hot for these offenses tonight in terms of excitement, and maybe they're a little bit overexcited. We just saw Fromber be excellent in that 8-inning game, and Morton is not, the moment is never too big for him going back into Houston. I think he'll relish that. I could actually see both guys getting five. If I got to pick one, I think I'm going to lean Valdez over Morton going five. Because he's probably got the better odds to do it, too. Because I would imagine Morton has the shorter number.
By the way, speaking of that, I made a bet on the Braves first five tonight, plus 105. You have a play. Would you bet the Braves either first five or full game tonight, or how would you play the single game?
I'm open to them on full game. Again, another thing we talked about this morning, and first five at that point. But as much as I do like the Astros, I think that's such a good number for where we're at with Charlie Morton. Their offense is clicking. Their bullpen has been solid. I can get in on the Braves tonight in the first game, especially. I still like Astros series, but I'm not averse to a Braves play. And this is another reason why I would rather not play the series and go game to game, because even as somebody that's on the Astros, I could see myself going Braves tonight and then getting on the Astros the rest of the way.
Paul, we are an in-game betting show, so what about these teams here if one team were to fall down early or a little bit, we get kind of a little bit later in the game. Do you feel one of these teams has an advantage kind of as this game gets going? What are you reading here on all of this? Let's say Morton kind of, they get to Morton a little bit early here. Is this one of these deals where you would go ahead and pile on the Astros, or do you think this is a time where maybe there's some value in taking the Braves?
If he gives up, a couple runs in the first couple of innings, say 2-3 runs, 2 innings deep, I think the number would be appealing enough to look at the Braves. But if you start to look at a bigger gap, 4-plus runs, I don't know how you would necessarily map out them coming back. Doesn't mean they can't, but you're trying to come out with the most logical solutions of how that's going to happen. And think about Valdez being a lefty. Their biggest plays right now are lefty hitters with Freeman and Rosario. Obviously, Albies is great, too. They have, Riley, other guys, too. But their two main guys are lefties. I would almost want it to go the other way. I would want to see the Braves get up early, 2 runs in the first couple innings. Then I would hammer the Astros that way, because their lineup that is so deep that I think they can come back from most deficits. Even if they go down 3-4 runs early, I think they can get back. So the Astros are the team that I would look at as far as going down early and then betting them in game.
Paul was walking through the casino the other day. I look up at the screen, and there you are on the MLB Network. Congratulations to you on that. And let me just say happy birthday to you as well. Yes, you're celebrating
your
birthday.
Thank you. I turned 40 on Sunday.
Come on.
He's a man.
I swear. I'm a man. I'm 40. Come after me.
Paul Spohr is 40. My God, I must be 85 years old. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, enjoy it. Take care.
You too. Paul Spohr, everybody. That guy. A mensch from the very first day I met him. We'll come back. We'll talk some football and baseball, too. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. Everything that VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Y'all seen this Taco Bell commercial where the girl and the guy catch each other's eyes? They're having the bonfire on the beach, and they decide to hang out, by the way, with each other on the beach. And then all of a sudden, she gets triggered for Taco Bell, and she ghosts him. She just goes, deuces, and she goes, runs to Taco Bell by herself.
Man.
You seen that?
No, I haven't. I've seen a lot of commercials, too.
Boy, that must be something.
There's a new personal injury guy in town I feel like we got to talk about during a break, but he's taking over the airwaves.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. It's a long
he's
name.
He's fighting for position.
Long name?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He's
dude.
Fighting for position.
He is fighting for position for sure. Matt, you want to...
What are we trying... we're getting a new personal injury guy that you guys are digging on, or just or
no.
Can't stand?
Well, we always talk about how like there's like three personal injury attorneys in town that have like 900 commercials a minute.
It's
here in
very
Las Vegas.
Very specific to Las Vegas that it's like they are local celebrities, because
yes.
Apparently personal injury lawyers it's a big thing here in Las Vegas. And there's a few of them, and we know them. It won't extend past Las Vegas, but the Nakvis of the world, you know what I'm talking about? Like, they are massive local celebrities. And now there's a fourth guy trying to push up on it.
He's pushing it. See, you knew that. I knew exactly what you're talking about.
Man,
I like that you guys. I'm going to start paying attention much more to these things. Here's the other problem: is I always just fast forward through commercials. I don't see commercials really anymore.
What's going on in sports?
Oh well, I guess this is where I say that I have so many TVs going on that I just
I just look at a different. I got 17 TVs. I got cricket on one. I don't even know how to play cricket or what the rules are.
I just look at a different TV, you know, when it's happening.
So, I was talking more when it's like a standalone game and you have to watch the commercials.
Not only that, even if you forward through, it's like you can't avoid them. They're just so pervasive. Anyway, before we get to the NFC yes/no playoffs. Matt wanted to say something because I brought up the point that yesterday became super popular to throw up graphics all over mainstream media like, hey, even when Devontae Adams isn't in the lineup, the Packers are amazing.
Over the last two seasons, they're 6-0 without Devontae Adams. Can you believe this? Well, guys, in 2019, they beat the Cowboys, who finished 8-8. And then they also beat the Lions, who finished 3-12-1. Then
I think I know where this is going.
Then they beat the Raiders, who finished 7-9. And then, oh my gosh, guys, they did beat the Chiefs in 2019,
but
12-4 with Matt Moore at quarterback. They did beat the Chiefs with Matt Moore at quarterback. And then in 2020, but they beat the Saints. They beat the Saints. Saints finished 12-4. They didn't have Devontae Adams. The Saints didn't have Michael Thomas. And Michael Thomas missed the game. So one for one right there.
Taste the soup.
And then they beat the Falcons also last year, who finished the year 4-12. So there's context to all this. It's why we talk about the trends all the time, right? It's like there's context to all of this stuff. It's so easy to just flash up this thing and go, I heard a guy today ranting about they beat the Chiefs in 2019. And I go, you didn't even take the time to look that it was Matt Moore quarterbacking.
No one takes the time. Remember yesterday when it was brought up on the show and my immediate reaction was, tell me who they played. Tell me who they played.
Yeah, and the Chiefs stuck out to me. It's funny because P.A. Wyatt Tomchek, who's a massive Packers fan, neglected to tell me the fact that Patrick Mahomes didn't play in that game.
So. No one tastes the soup, man.
Nobody tastes the soup.
Matt Moore at quarterback. Matt Moore. Yeah.
Best part of the movie.
Best part of the movie, for sure. Best part of the movie.
They didn't have Devontae when they beat the Saints. The Saints didn't have Michael Thomas.
All right, so we brought this up yesterday. This is pretty interesting because in the NFC, again, 7 playoff spots, we basically know 5 of them already. Cowboys in the East, Packers in the North, Bucks in the South, Cardinals and Rams in the West. Besides a seismic injury, or like a massive COVID outbreak. I mean, you make up what you want to make up. Those 5 teams, unless they collapse, are in. So you have a mad scramble, and I mean a scrum, for those last 2 positions in the wild card race of the NFC. And it's not too early to talk about it after week 7. So there's going to be, with that as a backdrop, 1 or 2 of these teams are going to have massive value on the yes to make the playoffs. The question is, can you identify them?
Put all of those teams in a hat, shake it up, pull 2 of them out, and it makes just as much sense as just about any of these other teams. Because, listen, you're going to look at the Saints and you're going to say, well, the Saints are 4-2, they're in drivers. Did you watch that game last night?
Oh, my God.
Did you watch that Saints team? I mean, yes, they won. They won because of multiple missed field goals by the Seahawks. They also could not do anything on the offensive side of the ball outside of throw the ball to Alvin Kamara. And guess what? If you are a one-man team, we saw this with the 49ers this past week with Debo Samuel. If you are a one-man team, eventually that one trick gets solved. And that's, I mean, you know, again, they did win the game, a bunch of missed field goals. They didn't do anything on the offensive side of the ball at all. If you think that the Saints can't go on some sort of extended losing streak here with the way that they're currently constructed, then you haven't watched this team play. So really and truly, yes. I mean,
let me just say this about that game, too, because that was the game that we were oppo on, and I happened to have the Seahawks, and you guys had the Saints on that. I take 0 credit.
Oh, they were
zero
horrible, credit. Too. Both those teams were horrible.
Right? Like, I mean,
I had Saints money line.
It was total plinko.
Total
plinko game. And both teams look, in the end, you feel worse about both.
Yes, they were both terrible. Like, absolutely terrible, both of those teams. And so, you look, I mean, if you were to try to tell me, hey, look, the Panthers made a move for a quarterback and they made a run, mm-hmm. if you told me that the Falcons got things together and figured out at least a little bit on the defensive side of the ball to go along with Ridley and Pitts on the offensive side and they were to put together a little run.
What if I told you, that's to borrow a phrase, 10-1 is sitting out there on Washington. Imagine if the defense doesn't even return to what it was last year, but showed some signs of that at least, right? Got super better than they are now.
And Fitz comes back?
Fitz comes back, and Curtis Samuel mysteriously has the groin heel. What about that? 10-1? Right. That outlandish? Especially because it's back-weighted easy for them, their schedule? Well, I don't think it's outlandish.
The one I'll at least say to that, Gil, like, I mean, dude, that clump of NFC East teams.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was a good segment idea when we were talking about it yesterday. And then I start putting together these prices. Like, this is the Eagles are that much shorter than Washington and the Giants?
Makes no sense.
How does that make any sense?
No, makes no sense. Okay, that seems like regional DraftKings bias right there.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. It's massive, though. Plus 450 to 10-1? That's crazy.
There is no discernible difference between the Eagles and the Giants right now. Really, so to have the difference of that big of a price, like there's no difference between those two teams.
The Seahawks do, of course, get Russell Wilson back at some point, we think.
We think, will it be in time?
Yeah, but even will that, like, that's like...
Before Pete Carroll completely sinks this...
Be 3-1 with 5 losses already banked, and you don't know exactly when Russell Wilson's coming back. Like, I would never bet 3-1 on that team.
No, guys, the number two run defense in all the NFL. He ran the ball 9 consecutive plays last night.
We didn't even talk about this game last night, really, in depth.
He ran the ball 9 consecutive plays last night.
For the people who counter that by saying, yeah, but it was Geno Smith, I do not care.
It doesn't matter.
I do not care. He is an NFL quarterback. At some point, you have to stop bashing the ball into the line. What are you doing? You've made it clear you want to establish the run. You don't need to run anymore. Good Lord, that was like David Shaw versus Michigan State in that bowl game years ago.
Alex Collins averaged 2.2 yards per carry last night. Rashad Penny had 6 for 9. That is 1.5 yards a carry. The reason that it is even somewhat respectable in this is because of Geno Smith's scrambles and a Freddie Swain end around. Like, outside of that, it would look even worse than it does right now. I mean, it was pathetic. And this guy, God bless him, he was a good coach, I think, at one point. But the game has passed him by. The philosophy of today's NFL has passed him by. And as you mentioned, it does not matter who you have at quarterback.
Nope.
You were playing one of the better run defenses, if not one of the top 3 run defenses in all the NFL. They proved it to you time and time again when they continued to stuff you over and over and over and over again. And yet there was a point in the game he ran the ball 9 consecutive times to the point where Seattle's fans, who love this team, were booing Pete Carroll like in the game last night.
How could they not? Pete Carroll, by the way, finally admitted after the game, I've been here a long time. Without Russell, I wouldn't have been here a long time. He finally said it out loud. There he goes. He finally admitted. Anyway, if I say to you, okay, I won't hold you to 2 teams, but if you picked one of these as a yes to make the playoffs right now to bet, we don't have DraftKings, but some do, what would you bet?
I think I'd have to take the Vikings strictly because of the offensive side of the ball for them and in hopes that something on the defense started to click just enough for them to finish. Because, I mean, look, like we talked about, one of these teams is going to be 8-9 probably and make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
maybe even worse, by the way.
Yeah, like could they be that 8-9 team that makes it? You know, I think that that's probably a pretty good scenario for them to get to that point.
I don't really see how they don't make it at this point. I'm literally at that point. Plus 150, I think is good. I think it's a good number.
Yeah, that's the only counter, is just +150 sexy enough to do it. But if you think they're absolutely going to make it, then yes. Or if you can figure out where Deshaun Watson is going.
Right.
You know, More on that after the break.
More on that after the break. Oh, that's a tease. And Kelly Bidlin. We'll also look at some baseball props, World Series props. We'll do it all. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Fuel up for football with the 5-Hour Energy Football Challenge. Energize your fight for first and play for free in this 3-part contest series for your shot at $15,000 in total cash prizes, head to DraftKings.com/5HourEnergy now to get in on the action. 5-Hour Energy, hours and hours of energy. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. By the way, I'm not sure if it's DraftKings.com/5HourEnergy or DraftKings.com/5-HourEnergy. I believe it's the latter. So let's make sure of that.
Five hyphen hour energy.
My bad.
Not five hyphens. Five. One single hyphen.
The number five.
Hour, yes.
A hyphen.
Yes.
Followed by our energy.
H, not O-U-R, right, not our hour. Energy, like the time hour.
TV audience, just look at the screen. Radio audience, we're sorry for everything that we always do.
We apologize.
We apologize for everything we do.
We are the worst. All right, here we go. This is the latest.
Oh, that was his breaking news
sounder. This is the latest. This is from Barry Jackson, who I'm told is a 27-year veteran at the Miami Herald. And you can find him on Twitter at Florida Sports Buzz, but that also is abbreviated to FLA Sports Buzz. The Houston Chronicle, Barry Jackson reports, the Houston Chronicle is reporting that the Dolphins and Texans have agreed on trade terms for Deshaun Watson. But hold up, everybody, before you go crazy. But the Dolphins want his legal issues resolved before consummating a deal. Barry Jackson adds in parentheses, good luck with that. The Chronicle suggests that Ross, that's the owner of the Dolphins, wants clarity from Roger Goodell on the length of a potential suspension. Again, Barry Jackson editorializing in parentheses, good luck with that.
This said, Tom Pelissero follows right up, and he is the NFL Network reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has changed since the NFL informed the Texans before camp that it wasn't putting Deshaun Watson on the exempt list. Barring a criminal charge or new evidence, the expectation remains that Watson can play while the civil cases play out and the police investigation NFL probes play out. So that's maybe not saying anything for next season when this may all come to fruition and whatever, but for this season, it looks like if they made a deal, he would be able to walk out on the field and play.
So apparently, though, the Dolphins aren't exactly comfortable with that yet.
Right, because if they want his legal issues to be completed, that's not going to happen until like January, February was the timeline for that.
So
right?
If this report is true, if they want his legal issues resolved before consummating a deal, seriously, good luck with that. Now, here's the thing with that. There could be a settlement any day, right? Deshaun's lawyers and the prosecution lawyers could always make a deal, and that would be the end of those legal issues. That's always possible, but that hasn't happened yet. And then the second part of that is Ross wants clarity from Goodell on length of potential suspension. So apparently the Dolphins aren't really comfortable with everything that Roger Goodell and the league office has passed on to them yet. So let's just speculate on this for a second. Let's say they do make this deal. Where's Tua going? Is Tua going to D.C.? Is it a three-way deal? And then is that 10-1 for Washington to make the playoffs looking good? Do you think Tua makes them better? I don't know.
But he's got to be gone.
He's got to be gone.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be gone at this point.
I mean, I think that really just depends how much does Houston like Tua, right? I mean...
Or does he go straight to Houston?
Right, because if they like him, then sure, he's going straight there, and maybe it's a little simpler, but I think a trade could be worked out with a third team pretty easily. I'm sure there's someone out there that would like to have to.
Oh, no question. Trade deadline, again, Tuesday, November 2nd.
I was going to say, this is the problem with all this. Like,
so breaking news with not much news.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the problem with all of this is someone reads that and someone thinks like, oh, something's getting done. But, I mean, it's a very tight window for something to get done here if this reporting, again, is true that they want all this stuff resolved. I mean, there's a difference between, like, even getting clarity and like, legal issues being resolved. Like the legal issues being resolved. Yeah, that is a very, very, that's a very stern way of saying, like, we are not moving forward here unless we know for sure that this is going to be something where we're not going to be trading away. I mean, who knows what this is going to end up costing.
Who knows?
Yeah, what this is going to end up costing for a guy that it's a rental for the rest of this season and then isn't going to be able to play for us for another 2 years after that.
I also don't know, now that I'm thinking, because we talked about this last night, I don't really know how you put together a trade deal without knowing this stuff ahead of time, right? Like, they're basically saying the opposite. They're saying they have the report is, at least, that the trade's in place, but they want to know the stuff out. Well, how do you, right. A guy's worth less if he doesn't touch the field for a year and a half.
You would think you wouldn't even get to this. Let's say there is a deal in place. You would think you wouldn't even get to the point where you would make it the terms of a deal, you know, solidified, if you had assurance from the league that, you know, whatever, that he would play, whatever they are seeking to clarify. You would think the seeking to clarify part would happen first.
Right, exactly. Because he's worth more now, yes, on the field than he would be a year from now, right? That's just a guy that's a year older is worth less. Sorry.
Yeah, not to mention, again, what I brought up yesterday, which has nothing to do with anything, which is I cannot believe the league is taking the position that they're, like, okay with him playing. I really can't, especially juxtaposed against what they did with Zeke.
Me too. We've talked about it, yeah, multiple times. It's mind-blowing, but more that we have no idea what they're thinking.
We have,
right?
No,
like,
clue.
We have no clue. We no would clue. Think, based off of what they've done in the past, they're going to do something, but they haven't hinted anything.
Is the NFL so... I'm already answering my question in my head, but are they so not in tune with the climate that they would think that they would not get incoming if they allowed this to happen? I don't know. That's a whole separate matter.
I think the NFL is not in tune with a lot of things.
Oh, I think the John Gruden thing, and again, no one's condoning what John Gruden had in those emails, because he absolutely, you know, was the maker of his own fate. Mm-hmm. But the notion that they were investigating Washington football team emails and some dude across the country is the only one who's gotten punished is just mind-boggling also. This league, man.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on Deshaun Watson. We don't have all the access to that information and pride ourselves on not interfering with it. That process is ongoing. We don't feel we have that necessary information to place him on the exempt list.
So okay, that actually tells us something then, right? Because he's saying that they don't have enough information to even make a decision yet.
And listen, to be fair, we are not jumping to conclusions here whatsoever. I mean, these are all still allegations. No. These are all still accusations at this point.
Well, you certainly don't know how we feel about this stuff.
This is allegations and accusations and whatever. All we're trying to say is that there's already been precedent set,
correct,
from the NFL's side,
yes,
for just levying, you know, heavy-handed suspensions for whatever they deem doesn't make the league look good, right? I mean,
right,
and things like that. So, I mean, that's the only thing that's the only thing we're trying to say. He could be 100% completely innocent.
He could be 100% completely innocent or not. We're not making a judgment. We're talking about the precedent that the NFL set with other things. And the notion that the NFL is taking the position of, oh, we don't have enough information, that never stopped you before. The commissioner's office has carte blanche to do whatever they want, regardless of what happens off the field. Now they're taking that position? It's fascinating.
From a betting standpoint, let's just, like, circle this back around. If he does go to Miami, at this point, though, the ship is sunk. Yeah, that's the thing.
Right.
Like that's the thing for, I mean, even from a betting, like, this would be super interesting if he went to
the Panthers,
Denver, or Carolina, or something like that, right? Like, mm-hmm, he goes to one of those teams.
They're
Jerry Judy's coming back. Cortland Sutton's balling out. You've got that in Denver. Or, you know, you put him in there with you know, again, McCaffrey will be coming back for the Panthers. You've got a stud in DJ Moore. Terrace Marshall will be coming off the concussion list. Like, Robbie Anderson's there as well. Like, that all is exciting. This, not saying that the fundamental skill position players of the Dolphins isn't exciting, but Devontae Parker's been injured all year.
Well, you could bet is an adjusted season win total.
You
right?
could do that.
You could get in front of that. If you think that this is going to happen, you could bet the Dolphins' adjusted season win total over right now if it's still up. I don't know if it's still up, but I would imagine they'll take it down.
Yeah, good point. I'll check in a second. I'm enjoying that all these reporters are kind of just piling on one of each other. So Aaron Reese, who covers the Texans for The Athletic, just retweeting Ian Rappaport's tweet, the one Matt just read, and points out that Watson is still yet to meet with NFL investigators.
I'm saying, man.
So you know, Goodell's talking about...
He's not even going to have a... Goodell's like, oh, I can't even have a conversation with
him. We're waiting on information, but they've never... These guys haven't even spoken yet about this.
Dude.
Five and a half.
That's their season win total?
Yeah.
5.5.
And they got one banked.
Well, if you were at DraftKings and you think he's ending up there, then maybe that's a bet. I honestly don't know.
I was going to say, I think the three of us here can't tell you what we would think.
No. There's still some bunnies on that schedule, too. They got one banked. If he were to go, could be interesting.
Baseball, World Series, Game 1. The lineups have been set. The game's about to start. We got final thoughts. Coming back, VSiN's Primetime Action.